There is something very dear to me about falling on my face with my brothers in that little prayer room back there on a Sunday morning that can't be matched. I don't find it anywhere. I'd like us to open our Bibles to 2 Peter this morning. A few weeks ago, I brought a message here on a Sunday morning. It was called A Beautiful Place to Stand. I'd like to bring a message this morning on a safe way to walk. We do have a beautiful place to stand, but I tell you this morning, it's a dangerous thing if all we have is a beautiful place to stand, if we don't also know of a safe way to walk. While we have a beautiful place to stand, we need also have a safe way to walk. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, is a safe way to walk. In the last message, we established that beautiful place to stand as a place of justification by faith. We did look at the truths of the Scriptures there in Romans chapter 5, how that we are justified by faith in what Christ has done for us. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We saw that that was a place of blessing. We saw it was a place of freedom. We saw it was a place of acceptance, a place of forgiveness, a place of yieldedness, where everything is laid on the altar before God, because God has given us a beautiful place to stand. And if you could study through the book of Romans, it might make more sense to you why Paul said the words that he did in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I would say to you this morning, because God has given us a beautiful place to stand, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But that's all still back down there on that beautiful place to stand. We established a position, a posture of faith in what God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, we want to look at a safe way to walk. Reading in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's quite a little verse right there. He's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an infant shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now here in these scriptures, we see a safe way to walk. But I'd like us to just look at the verses briefly from verse 1 to 5 and see again how God establishes the proper order in this matter of a sanctified life. You see, our sanctification flows out of our justification. If we're not right on our justification, we will not be right on our sanctification. Either we will think that our sanctification is pleasing in God's sight and justifies us, or many other errors can come into our life if our sanctification doesn't flow out of justification. So let's look at these first few verses again. And notice that the first thing that Peter talks about before he goes into this matter of a sanctified life is he talks about a justified life. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there he establishes it right in the beginning. I'm writing to those who have obtained the like precious faith that we have, and you obtained it the same way by putting your faith in the righteousness of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way that we all obtain the like precious faith. Only when we chose to put our faith in what Jesus did do we obtain that like precious faith. And then he goes on to give them a blessing, and the blessing comes out of the same profession. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. God's multiplication. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And notice in verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now we haven't got to the sanctified life yet. We haven't got to those verses yet. But here we are standing before God. We are standing before God justified. We are standing before God stamped to be justified, reckoned to be righteous in the sight of God. And because of that, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now we know that's true if we'll stop just for a moment and think about that old sinner that just got converted. He has been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He didn't earn anything yet. He hasn't done anything to earn anything yet. He just got converted. But yet the Bible says here that He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And it's by that faith in what Christ has done that these things are given. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, and I just love this little portion of Scripture here, exceeding great and precious promises. We could squeeze a lot out of those three words right there, but I'd just like us this morning to notice how precious and how important and how life-giving those promises are. God breathed out three words on them. Exceeding great and precious are the promises of God. Exceeding great and precious are those promises. And the first promise that we need to be living off of, if we're going to go on through these verses this morning, is the exceeding great and precious promise that God gave us, that if we would believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus, He would pour out His blessing upon us and give us salvation and give us strength by His Spirit. These are part of the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having, past tense, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that's where we are today, I trust. We're here today having, past tense, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I trust that is our testimony this morning, that we have escaped the pollutions that that world has out there and the way that it can pollute our lives through the lust that is in our own hearts. But I want you to notice something this morning. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. I thought about it this week as we again are seeing people get revived by responding to the Lord the way they need to. And I thought about it this week. It came so fresh and clear to me again. That's only the beginning. A revived heart is just the normal state. That's only the beginning. And this morning as we sit here, a justified heart that is enjoying the blessing of God, the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of redemption, the blessing of being clear, the blessing of being accepted in the Beloved. That's only the beginning. That's the bottom line. That's the foundation that needs to be built on. Amen. Other foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And that state that we are in when we come to the Lord, that is only the beginning. But I'll tell you what, in these days, it takes everything you can do to keep the people that are wandering around in the many churches, it takes everything you can do just to keep them in that state right there. And God has so much more that He wants His people to go on to. So, it says in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now we got the faith established. We established the faith in the last message. That's what the faith is. But now that we've got our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now that we've got our faith in the promise that He would do and bless us and save us and do a work of grace in our heart, now that we have our faith in that, that's just the beginning. Now we're ready to go on. And that's what these verses are saying. And it's a safe way to walk this morning, and you'll see that in just a few minutes as we go down through these verses. It is a safe way to walk. Beside this, giving all diligence, earnest care, lots of attention, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, to the temperance, patience, to the patience, godliness, to the godliness, brotherly kindness, to the brotherly kindness, charity. These seven things, there are seven of them that God wants us to add on to this faith we have. And it's a blessing that we have this faith. And it's a blessing to be forgiven. And it's a blessing to have a beautiful place to stand. But God wants us then to add on from that. And if we could just see that this is the way that the adding is supposed to take place. We're supposed to add on, having found this foundation, having received this acceptance, having received the forgiveness, having received the clearance, having received the strength of God's Spirit by regeneration, having received all of this, that is where God wants us to grow from. So many people get that confused. They get their heart where it's not clear anymore and still try to grow in these seven things. It won't work. And I'm sure you'll say amen to that. It doesn't work. You're not going to grow into a sanctified life until you learn to, first of all, keep the ground level foundation the way that God wants it to be. But once you have that, then you need to add to your faith these seven things. Virtue. Virtue meaning inner power, moral energy, a moral uprightness, a hunger for God. Now, we're talking about the bottom stages now. Just a hunger and a desire to have a holy life. That's what virtue is there. It's a moral excellence. It's the inner strength or power that shines out in excellence from our lives. That needs to be added to the faith that we have. And notice, this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. God has many more things that He wants to add into our lives. He has many more things that He wants us to add into our lives. It's not just His work. Notice the verse here a little bit further. If ye do these things, Peter said, if you do these things, if you give diligence to these things. So it's not just God. It's not just us sitting down and saying, okay, God, I want to be a partaker of your divine nature. Now you pour your divine nature into me. It doesn't work that way. But the first thing we need to add is virtue. Moral excellence. Inner power. And that's where we begin, right there. Number two, knowledge. The knowing of truth, scriptural precepts, principles of God's Word, the uniting of truth to our heart. That's the next step. That's the next thing that needs to be added. And I think that we need to be adding all seven of these all through our life. But I think if you'll just look at it, and you'll acknowledge that they also build on top of each other. The one helps the other one to take place. And then when there's two there, then the next one is helped to grow. And even though we may work on all of these all through our lives, at the same time, there is a certain order here. First is that hunger to do the will of God. First is that hunger to have a holy life. First is that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. That is the first thing that needs to be there. That inner strength that shineth, that hunger for God and for His Word, that needs to be the first thing that is there. And then on top of that, knowledge. Here we have it. We have the knowledge right here. The knowledge is the principles of the Word of God. The knowledge is taking truth and uniting it to our heart. It's the precepts of God's Word. That's the next thing that we need. And you can see how the one adds on top of the other. First there's that hunger. First there's that desire. First there's that moral excellence that is striving to go on. And then from there, we end up in the Word of God. And when we're in the Word of God, God reveals His precepts and His principles to us. And that's the second step that God wants for us. That the precepts, that the principles would come to our hearts. We need to add faith to our faith, virtue, and then on top of the virtue, the knowledge. We need the knowledge into our hearts and lives. And number three is temperance. And that word temperance, I think everybody knows what that means. That's simply self-control. Temperance. Not extreme, not overboard, not overeating, not over drinking, not over anything. Temperance, self-control. I wrote down here in my paper, the power of our will being brought under the control of the Spirit of God. I like to put it that way, lest we think that it's by our own bootstraps that we pull ourselves up. No, it's the power of our will being brought under the influence and the control of the power of the Spirit of God. And when those two unite together and mesh with the knowledge that we just learned in the step before, then self-control is going to take place. It naturally follows knowledge, inferring that what is learned must be put into practice. And it has to do with the appetites of our body, the disciplines of the Christian life. Fleshly ways are brought under control. This is the safe way to walk after you've found that beautiful place to stand. It's a safe way to walk this morning. So after the virtue comes the knowledge. And after the knowledge, then comes the temperance or the self-control. And God says, I want you to add self-control to your life. I want you, by my grace, to get a hold of your appetites. I want you, by my grace, to discipline your life. I want you, by my grace, to get up early in the morning. I want you, by my grace. And I could go on and on here this morning. Bringing yourself under control. Somebody, the brother mentioned this morning, lightheartedness. This falls right in there. I want you, by my grace, to bring your spirit under control. Self-control. It's a safe way to walk. And number four is patience. And the word patience there means enduring, abiding under trials. And if you have any trials this week, let me see your hands if you had any trials this week. Well, then this verse surely applies to almost every one of us here. We had some trials this week. Well, God says, I want you to add to the virtue and to the knowledge and to the temperance. I want you to add patience. Or abiding under trial. I made it through the trial. I was fellowshipping with God through the trial. I maintained my walk with God through the trial this week. That's abiding under the trial. Cheerful endurance. Going through the trials and not falling underneath them. Not breaking into discouragement. Not giving up in your heart. Not saying, oh, what's the use? And all the different things that we face. Or not tipping our sails in the midst of the trial and just going our own way. God wants us to add to this beautiful place that we have to stand an enduring patience that will persevere through the trials that come our way. And life is filled with them. We just saw it by the raise of hands. Life is filled with trials. Constant endurance in the midst of much trials. Persevering with a lively hope in the midst of the fire. That's what it's all about. That's what adding patience to the other three of these is. It's persevering with a lively hope in the midst of the fire. God wants us to learn how to do that. You don't do that right away. Many times we fail at it. But God wants us to add that to our Christian life. He wants us to add that to this beautiful place that we found to stand. And just notice how they progress along here. I think of the three Hebrew children when I think of those who endured, who had patience, the attitude they had. I mean, they just had faith in God. It did not waver them. It did not shake their faith. They just said to the king, if God delivers us, so. And if He doesn't, it doesn't matter to us. We still won't bow. And that's a beautiful example right there of going through any kind of a trial. Maybe you didn't face an individual this week that you needed to say that to. But it needs to be our heart attitude through every trial. If God delivers me from this trial, amen. But if He doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. Patient endurance in the midst of our trials. The next one, number five, is godliness. Now we need to add godliness. We've got faith. We've got virtue. We've got knowledge. We've got temperance. We've got patience. Now I want you to add to those godliness. Add godliness to that. What is godliness? It's a life that is devoted to God. It's not devotions, it's devotion to God. Lots of people have devotions, but not very many have learned devotion unto God. You understand the difference? One is walking with God. The other one has a little bit of time in the morning that they give to God. That's devotions. But devotion is when you learn to walk with God. Devotion is when you learn to walk with a heart that is blessing and worshiping God. When you learn to walk with God all day long, then that's devotion. Not devotions. Godliness. God says, I've given you a beautiful place to stand. I set you free. I've set you free from your sins. I've set you free from the guilt. I've set you free from the condemnation. I've given you a stamped out righteousness in heaven. You're accepted in my sight. You're my beloved. I've wrapped my arms around you and I love you. But there's a way that I want you to walk. There's not just a beautiful place to stand this morning, but there is a safe way to walk. And God wants both of those in our lives. And the one flows out of the other. Godliness, where all of our actions are done unto God. That's godliness. When we got a hoe in our hand, it's unto God. When we got a dish in our hand, it's unto God. When we got a steering wheel in our hand and we're going somewhere, it's unto God. That's devotion. When everything we do it by motivation of God. We do it as unto God. We do it for God. We do it as worship to God. We do it as we walk with God. That is godliness. Another word for godliness is piety. Now that's a bad word around here these days, but it is a good word. Piety. We better all have some piety in us. True piety is just simply godliness. Godward attitudes. A God-fearing life of reverence toward God. I just wrote down a lot of different thoughts here. Godliness. Godly reverence manifested in holy actions. Godliness. Add to these things godliness. Can you see how they kind of go on top of each other? First we have the virtue, we have the strength there, then the knowledge, our heart is enlightened to the will of God, to the truth of God's Word, then comes self-control, and we bring our thoughts into obedience of Christ, and we bring our fleshly ways into order, and our life comes into discipline, and we bring all of our thoughts and all of our attitudes under the subjection of the Spirit of God, and then from there God adds a patience yet, and we're not going to give up those things that we've gained as trials come our way, and then from that God also just adds a life of godliness, just a life that is just like this. Like a priest. That's a good way to put it. A priestly life. A life of godliness is a priestly life. And God wants you to add that to your faith. Next is brotherly kindness. Fond of the brethren. I put down here a rewarding church life. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and a rewarding church life. Add to all of those a rewarding church life. A fondness of the brethren, fraternal affection, kindness in a brotherhood. Really, just brotherhood. Add to your life brotherhood. If you don't know what brotherhood is, you are missing a very big part of your Christian life. Brotherhood. Being a part. Fitting in. Blessing one another. Yielding your own desires. Giving to the others. Giving out. Carrying other burdens. Praying. Giving your finances to others. Ministering one to another. Discipling a younger brother. Living for the others. Giving your life out to them. Learning to live together. Learning to dwell together. Listen. A man of God isn't a man of God if he hasn't learned what brotherhood is all about. If he hasn't learned to yield and bear burdens and give his finances away and minister to somebody else and disciple somebody and live for them and give himself away to the brethren. And God says, I want you to add this to that beautiful place where you're standing. Add it. Work on it. Pray over it. See ways that you can live it out in your life. Brotherhood. And lastly, charity. You know, when I was a young Christian, I used to read those last two and say, wait a minute now. What's here? When I was a Baptist, I used to read it and say, what's the difference? Because I didn't know what a brotherhood was. Church was going to church on Sunday morning, hearing a good sermon, and scatting out the door as fast as you can. Go home and live my life the rest of the week. But now I know what it is, and I know what the difference is. It's pretty easy to have brotherhood when you line it up to the next one, which is charity, which is 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, which is sacrificial love, which is God-like love, which is love that cannot be matched by the world. It cannot be matched by any natural affections. Add on top of this brotherly kindness, charity. God-like love, sacrificial love, love that goes against the nature of man, loving your enemies, loving those that hurt you, turning your other cheek, the cross of Calvary type love, not an emotional love, but an action-filled love, a loving of the unlovely, the just for the unjust, bearing suffering, misunderstanding, ridicule, hatred, all for the sake of helping somebody else. And I put down at the bottom of all that, doormat Christianity. That's what charity is. It's doormat Christianity. When you're willing to be a doormat for the sake of somebody else. When you're willing to love somebody so much that you let them walk all over you just because you want to see their life changed. And it doesn't matter to you that they hurt you, that they step on you, that they misunderstand you, that they speak evil of you. It doesn't matter. It's loving your enemies. It's turning the other cheek when somebody's upset at you and saying, go ahead, hit the other one. That's charity. And God says, I've given you a beautiful place to stand. I've loved you. I forgave you. I set you free from your sins. I've accepted you in the Beloved. I put my arms around you and I love you. But I want you to add some things to that. Don't just stay there. I want you to add some things to that. And can we see again how these progress? It's a little hard to take number 7 if you haven't tried anything with number 1. But God wants us to add that to our Christian life, to our faith. Doormat Christianity. Let's go on a little with these verses. Look at verse 8. Now we see how important these things are as we look at the next few verses. This is not option, brothers and sisters. It's not option. It's not something, well, you can decide I'll take it or I'll leave it. Well, I'll take number 2, but I don't think I like number 7. I like number 4, but I don't like number 2. No. It's nothing like that. God says in His Word, "For if these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound..." Now that leaves us all some room to grow, doesn't it? "These things be in you and abound." That means burst forth. They're just abounding in your life. Look what He says. Oh, this is exciting. "They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Anybody sick of being barren? Anyone tired of being unfruitful? "If these things be in you and abound." That word "abound" is like a deer that jumps off the highway when the car is coming. Burst forth. No more barrenness. No more unfruitfulness. It's important that these things be in our lives. Look at verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things..." Now we're going to go to all the way to the other side. "Lacketh these things is blind." See, well, I'm 10 years old in the Lord. And I got a beautiful place to stand. Hallelujah. I just praise God. I have a beautiful place to stand. But if these things are lacking in you, and you're 10 years old in the Lord, you're blind. You're blind. And cannot see afar off. You're not looking down the road right. And you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. That's what it says. Verse 10. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence..." Diligence? "To these things." Give diligence to these things. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but I interpret it just the way it says. There is a way of making your calling and election sure, and there is a way that your calling and election is not sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's what the Bible says. If you'll do these things, you'll never fall. I wonder how that can be. Well, let's look back over the 7 of them and see how much protection is in them. Number 1 was virtue, or inner power. If we have inner power in our lives, we'll be able to resist temptation that comes our way and thus not fall. Number 2 is precepts. If we have the precepts of the Word of God hidden in our heart, written on the table of our heart, we'll be led in right paths instead of the wrong paths and not fall. Amen. The 3rd one is temperance, or self-control. If we have self-control in our lives, our flesh will be brought in order. Paul said he brings his flesh under subjection. Paul said he buffets his body and brings it under subjection. If we have self-control in our lives, our flesh will be in its place. And we won't fall. The next one, patience, or endurance under trial. If we have learned to endure under trial, will not fall in the midst of the trial. I wonder how many give up in the midst of the trials and they just can't bear it anymore. But if we have endurance in our lives,
It'll keep us. We will not fall when the trials come our way. And godliness. There's that positive, powerful influence of a walk with God, which is the greatest deterrent of falling that we could have, is that walk with God. It's pretty hard to fall if you're walking with God. Most people don't just be walking along with God and all of a sudden say, "Forget it, God, I'm going my own way." It doesn't happen that way. No, it doesn't. People fall when they lose contact with God and they're not walking with God anymore and they don't hear His voice anymore and He's afar off, like the brother said today, and then they go their own way. That's the way it happens, and they fall. Then I thought of brotherly kindness, and I thought to myself, that's probably one of the greatest deterrents to falling in the whole list. Is this whole brotherly relationship surrounded with my brothers? I wonder how many times a man or a woman has been helped from falling because they were nestled in to the brotherhood. And the last one, charity. A love that loves to the point of sacrifice. A love that loves to the point of hurting, to the point of pain, will lead us and keep us from falling. Let's go on. Verse 11. And here Peter gives the reason why you need to do this. It's so important because it's so exciting. For so, because of the last verse, you have these things, you do these things, you'll never fall, and if you never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says these words, wherefore? Because of this kingdom, because of its beauty, because of its glory. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What things? These seven things we just looked at. I will not be negligent. I will put you in remembrance of these seven things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Even though you already know them, Peter says, I'm going to remind you of them again. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He is really concerned about these seven things. It's pretty evident, isn't it? He wants the children of God to have these seven things evident in their lives. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Here he is, he's saying it again. Come on, Peter. Once or twice is enough, but five times. It's important. And I wonder if we see the importance this morning. And it's hard to know what he meant by that, but I can just imagine that he would pass that on to faithful men so that after he's deceased, the faithful men can get up before the people and remind them again, you need these seven things in your life. Don't you settle down on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't you just sit there and rest in that beautiful place to stand. You're going to fall. You need more than that. You need a safe place to walk, not just a beautiful place to stand. You know, it's interesting to go ahead and study the book, 2 Peter. He goes on to talk about false teachers. And there's about a dozen characteristics in chapter 2 about the false teachers. How they live, what they teach. And you could take these things that we just looked at and look at the opposite of them that is in the false teachers. And what Peter is doing in the second chapter, after he has enlightened us and warned us and stirred us up again in the first chapter that we must have these things in our lives, he warns us in the second chapter that there will be false teachers among you who will come and try to teach you that you don't need all these things in your life. And that people will follow their pernicious ways, their fleshly ways, and be led astray and fall. He even says that in chapter 2. Brothers and sisters, it is a safe way to walk. It's a safe way to walk. And I'll tell you what. A gospel that doesn't have any sanctification that follows after it is not right. You see, we don't just stand. We do also walk. And we need to have a safe way to walk, or we'll fall while we're walking from that safe place where we were standing. Peter says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory," verse 17, "when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Peter is telling us about the, how does it say over here? "The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You see, Peter got a glimpse into that kingdom. That's why he's so motivated here to encourage all of us that these things be in us. To encourage all of us that we give diligence to make our calling and election sure. To remember, to be reminded that we shall be diligent to add these things to our life. Not just a happenstance thing. Not just pick up a little on Sunday morning when we come to church. No, that's not what he meant. He meant give diligence to add these things to that faith. Give diligence to add these things to that beautiful place where I gave you to stand. Be diligent about it. It's not a happenstance thing. It's not just pick up a little on Sunday morning and go your way the rest of the week. No! It's give diligence, God says. It's an important thing that we be concerned about a sanctified life. That we be concerned that our life changes. That we be concerned that these things are added on to that beautiful place to stand. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So God is giving us a safe place to walk, or a safe way to walk, this morning. And I just want to encourage everyone to do some addition. God multiplies to us grace and mercy and tells us, "Now that I've multiplied grace and mercy to you, I want you to add virtue, knowledge, patience, brotherly kindness, temperance, charity, godliness. I've multiplied unto you. Now I want you to add to your life these things." Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father in heaven, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we say amen. O God, we say amen to the remembrance of these things today. Yes, Lord, we've read these verses many times. Many times we've heard them expounded upon. Lord, I've read sermons about it, but I thank You this morning for a reminder, Lord, that these things shall be added to our lives. Oh, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'll stir us up today, that You'll stir us up to be diligent about these matters. God, You didn't just give us a beautiful place to stand. You want us to go on. You want us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know this is how it is done. We grow in grace by adding these things. Oh, Father, we ask You to give us grace to do that. We ask You, Lord, to multiply grace and mercy to us, that we might add these things to our lives. Father, we just commit each one into Your hands this morning and trust, Lord, that Your Word will do its work. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take just a few minutes, open it up for any testimony. Maybe you have a word concerning the first message. You had a desire to express yourself. You can take that liberty at this time. Feel free if there's anyone.
Thank you.
Father, at the close of the service, we just cry, Abba, Father, to Thee. God, we thank You for what You gave us today. We thank You, Father, that You helped us to see our needs. Lord, that's what we prayed this morning, that You'd help us see our needs, that You'd deliver us as a church from pride, oh God, from thinking that we have arrived. And Lord, we just want to commit each one into Your hands today. As we leave and go many different directions, Father, we pray that You'll keep us in the love of God. We pray that You'll send Thy peace with us, Lord, and in us. Oh God, we do pray for the meeting tonight down in Virginia. We pray Your blessing upon it. We pray for our brethren that are in Africa. God, we pray Your blessing upon them also, Father. It's 5 o'clock in the evening there. They're getting ready for a service tonight. Lord, we just pray You'll bless them in a special way right now. Those men, as they're studying, as they're praying, as they're preparing to go to a service and preach, God, we pray You'll be very special and close to them. God, we do pray that You'll take care of their wives while they're away. And help us, Lord, to do our part also to take care of their wives while they're away. Father, we commit our lives into Your hands, and each one into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.